Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled, The Widow's Game. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Shattered Widow. The rain fell in relentless sheets, turning the pristine white driveway of Hawthorne Manor into a slick, glistening mirror. Emergency lights bathed the towering columns of the estate in red and blue, their steady rhythm a grim counterpoint to the chaos unfolding inside. Vivian Hawthorne sat at the center of the living room, her face buried in trembling hands. Her long, dark hair clung to her pale cheeks, damp from a mix of tears and the rain she had run through moments earlier. The silk robe she wore, once immaculate, was smeared with dirt and blood, painting her as a woman on the brink of collapse. Detective Elijah Crane observed her from the doorway, his trained eyes scanning every detail. Something about her grief felt rehearsed, as though it were being performed for an audience. But then, the scene before him was undeniably tragic. Lucas Drayton Hawthorne, one of the wealthiest and most influential men in the city, lay dead at the bottom of the grand staircase, his neck twisted at an unnatural angle. The marble steps were slick with rainwater and faint traces of blood. "Mrs. Hawthorne," Crane began, stepping cautiously into the room. "I know this is difficult, but I need to ask you a few questions." Vivian looked up, her gray eyes shimmering with unshed tears. "Detective," she whispered, her voice fragile and broken. I don't understand how this happened." One moment he was there, and the next. Her voice cracked as she gestured helplessly toward the staircase. Crane crouched down to meet her gaze. "You mentioned earlier that Lucas had been drinking tonight." She nodded, her fingers clutching the edge of her robe. "Yes. He had a few glasses of scotch. We argued, nothing serious, just about work. And then he said he needed some air. I thought he went to his study, but when I heard the crash," her voice broke into a sob, and she pressed a trembling hand to her mouth. Crane let her cry, watching her closely. "You said he was coming down the stairs when he fell?" "Yes," she said, nodding emphatically. "He must have slipped. The rain." Her gaze darted to the open balcony door, where the storm continued to rage outside. "I told him not to leave it open. The floors were wet." Her explanation was plausible, reasonable, even, but something about it didn't sit right. Crane had seen his share of accidents, and this one felt too perfect. Too convenient. "Mrs. Hawthorne," said another voice, sharp and clinical. Dr. Penelope Marks, the department's forensic psychologist, entered the room, her eyes narrowing slightly as she took in Vivian's disheveled state. "I understand you've been through a terrible ordeal, but I have to ask, did anyone else see what happened?" Vivian's gaze snapped to Marks, her expression a mix of confusion and indignation. "Are you suggesting someone else was here?" she asked, her voice trembling with just the right amount of offense. "Lucas and I were alone. He fell, doctor. It was an accident." "Of course," Mark said smoothly, though her tone carried a faint edge of skepticism. "We just want to ensure we understand the full picture." Crane shot Mark a warning look, but she ignored him, her focus remaining on Vivian. "Mrs. Hawthorne, you mentioned arguing with your husband earlier. What was the argument about?" Vivian hesitated, her lips parting slightly as though searching for the right words. "Lucas was stressed," she said finally, her voice soft. "The business, it's been difficult lately. He thought I was spending too much, but I," she shook her head, fresh tears welling in her eyes. "I don't see how that matters now. He's gone." Marks tilted her head, her expression unreadable. "Sometimes, it's the small details that help us piece things together." Vivian didn't respond, her gaze dropping to her lap. Crane stepped in, his tone gentler. "We're just trying to get a clear picture, Mrs. Hawthorne. For now, let's focus on what's important. I'll make sure the team finishes here quickly, so you can rest." Vivian looked at him, her eyes grateful. "Thank you, detective," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. As Crane turned to leave, Marks caught his arm, her voice low. "She's lying." Crane frowned. "You can't know that. She's too polished," Marks said. "The tears, the quivering voice, it's all too precise. I've seen real grief, Elijah. That woman is hiding something." Crane glanced back at Vivian, who now sat motionless, staring blankly at the floor. He wasn't convinced, but Marks's instincts were rarely wrong. "We'll see what the evidence says," he muttered. As the investigators wrapped up, Vivian ascended the grand staircase, her steps measured and deliberate. She paused at the top, looking down at the spot where Lucas had fallen. A flicker of a smile played at the corners of her lips, so brief it might have been imagined. Turning, she walked to the master bedroom, her movements fluid and composed. Inside, she opened a drawer and pulled out a small, leather-bound journal. Flipping through its pages, she stopped at an entry dated 2 weeks prior. Lucas's temper is getting worse. If he doesn't trust me with the business, I'll show him exactly how capable I am. Accidents happen every day. She closed the journal, her expression hardening. The game had only just begun. Chapter 2, Threads of Deception. The morning after Lucas Hawthorne's death dawned cold and gray, the heavy rain giving way to a mist that clung to the sprawling estate. Hawthorne Manor stood silent, its grandeur now overshadowed by the tragedy within. Yet inside, Vivian moved with calculated precision. Dressed in a tailored black dress that accentuated her fragile figure, she stared into the ornate mirror of her vanity. Her reflection was that of a woman shattered by grief, or so she intended it to appear. The slight smudges of sleeplessness under her eyes, the tremble of her lip, and the hollow expression she'd perfected were all part of a meticulous performance. Vivian reached for her pearl necklace, fingers pausing for a moment as a thought crept into her mind. One misstep, and everything falls apart. Downstairs, Detective Elijah Crane leaned against the marble kitchen island, nursing a cup of coffee. His eyes flicked over the room, taking in the tasteful decor and the photographs lining the walls. Each frame told a story of wealth and privilege, a power couple in exotic locations, charity galas, and art show openings. But none of them revealed the tension he'd sensed between Vivian and Lucas in the whispers of the household staff. Detective Crane? A voice broke his thoughts. Dr. Penelope Marks, the consulting forensic psychologist, approached, her sharp eyes and confident demeanor contrasting with Crane's brooding intensity. You got something for me? Crane asked, his voice gravelly. Dr. Marks nodded. Preliminary impressions. Lucas's injuries are consistent with a fall, but something doesn't sit right. There's no indication he tried to break his fall, no defensive wounds, no handprints on the railing. It's peculiar. Crane sighed, setting his coffee down. You think someone pushed him? Marks raised an eyebrow. I'm saying it warrants a closer look. And Vivian Hawthorne, she trailed off, glancing toward the hallway. She's an interesting subject. Crane followed her gaze. You think she's hiding something? Don't you? Marks replied. She's composed for someone whose husband just died. Too composed. Grief doesn't usually look like that. Before Crane could respond, Vivian entered the kitchen, her presence commanding even in her supposed vulnerability. Detective Dr. Marks, she said softly, her voice laced with sadness. I wanted to thank you both for staying. It's comforting to know someone is here to help make sense of this tragedy. We're just doing our job, Mrs. Hawthorne, Crane replied, studying her carefully. Vivian's lips quirked into a faint smile, one that didn't reach her eyes. Please call me Vivian. And if there's anything I can do to assist, don't hesitate to ask. Mark spoke up, her tone pointed. You mentioned Lucas had been drinking heavily that night. Was that unusual for him? Vivian tilted her head, her expression thoughtful. Not entirely. Lucas often enjoyed a drink or two after a long day, especially when he was stressed. But he was never reckless. That's why this is so hard to understand. Crane leaned forward, his tone gentle but probing. Vivian, did Lucas have any enemies? Someone who might have wanted to harm him? Her eyes widened, and she clasped her hands together. No, of course not. He could be difficult, but he was a good man. Everyone respected him. Marks didn't miss the subtle hesitation in her words, nor the way Vivian's gaze flickered to the side as she spoke. What about your argument that night? Marks pressed. You said it wasn't serious, but can you tell us what it was about? Vivian's shoulders tensed, but she quickly recovered, letting out a shaky breath. It was nothing, really. Lucas had been under a lot of pressure at work, and I suggested he take some time off. He didn't take it well. He thought I was questioning his ability to handle things. And were you? Marks asked, her tone sharp. Vivian flinched, her eyes welling with tears. No, of course not. I just wanted what was best for him. Crane shot Marks a warning glance, but Vivian's composure had already returned. She stood, her hands clasped in front of her. I hope you'll excuse me. I need to speak with my attorney about the estate. There are so many things to take care of, and I, her voice broke again, perfectly timed. I'm sorry. It's just overwhelming. As she left the room, Marks turned to Crane. What do you think? Crane shook his head. I think she's grieving. But I also think she's damn good at controlling the narrative. Later that afternoon, Vivian stood alone in Lucas's study, her fingers trailing over the desk where he'd spent countless hours. She opened a drawer, pulling out a thick envelope. Inside were documents detailing Lucas's latest business ventures. Ventures he hadn't shared with anyone, not even her. Vivian smiled, the mask of grief slipping away for a moment. These papers were more than evidence of her late husband's secret dealings. They were leverage. With the right moves, she could shift any suspicion away from herself. After all, Lucas wasn't the saint everyone thought he was. A faint knock on the door snapped her back to the present. Mrs. Hawthorne, a maid called softly. Detective Crane would like to see you. Vivian tucked the envelope away and composed herself. Of course. I'll be right there. As she stepped out of the study, her mind raced. Every lie she told had to be flawless. Every step calculated. One misstep, and the game would be over. But for now, Vivian was winning. Chapter 3, The Loyal Ally. The sun hung low in the sky, casting elongated shadows across the manicured lawns of Hawthorne Manor. Vivian stood on the balcony adjoining her bedroom, the cool breeze tugging at the hem of her chiffon dress. She gazed thoughtfully at the horizon, her mind weaving intricate patterns of her next moves. The estate was quiet, but beneath its serene exterior, a storm was brewing, one she had meticulously orchestrated. Down in the village, Detective Elijah Crane sat in a dimly lit cafe, stirring a cup of black coffee gone cold. The chatter of patrons and clinking of cutlery faded into the background as he reviewed his notes. Despite Vivian's compelling display of grief, inconsistencies gnawed at him. He couldn't shake the feeling that there was more to Lucas Hawthorne's death than a simple accident. Mind if I join you? Dr. Penelope Marks asked, sliding into the seat across from him without waiting for an answer. Crane looked up, startled out of his reverie. Dr. Marks, didn't expect to see you here. She offered a wry smile. Small town, limited options. Besides, I thought we might compare notes. Crane sighed, running a hand through his tousled hair. I'm starting to think you're right about Vivian. Something doesn't add up. Marks leaned forward, her eyes sharp. People like her are skilled at deception. They manipulate emotions, control narratives. We need to stay objective. He nodded, but his gaze drifted to the window, where the silhouette of Hawthorne Manor loomed in the distance. Objectivity's hard when you're dealing with someone like her. Back at the manor, Vivian descended the grand staircase with poise, her heels clicking softly against the marble. She made her way to Lucas's study, where Henry Caldwell awaited her. Henry, Lucas's longtime business partner, stood as she entered, his eyes betraying a mix of sorrow and suspicion. Henry, Vivian greeted, extending a hand. He took it reluctantly. Vivian, I'm so sorry for your loss. She offered a demure nod. Thank you. It's been overwhelming. Henry cleared his throat. I wish we were meeting under different circumstances, but there are urgent matters regarding the company that need addressing. Of course, she replied smoothly. Lucas would want the business to continue seamlessly. As they sat, Vivian subtly steered the conversation, planting seeds of doubt. Lucas mentioned some concerns about a recent deal. Something about discrepancies in the accounts. Henry shifted uncomfortably. I'm not sure what you mean. She sighed softly. He didn't give me details, just that he was worried about some financial irregularities. I assumed you would know. Henry's eyes darted away. I'll look into it. Later that evening, Vivian retreated to her private parlor, a room adorned with antique mirrors and lush velvet drapes. She opened a concealed panel behind a bookshelf, revealing a hidden safe. From it, she retrieved a small, unmarked vial and a stack of letters tied with a faded ribbon. She unfolded one of the letters, her eyes scanning the familiar handwriting. The words within were a stark contrast to the life she projected, a tale of hardship, betrayal, and survival. Memories of her past flooded back, a dingy apartment, whispered promises, and the bitter taste of desperation. A soft knock at the door pulled her back to the present. She swiftly tucked the items away and closed the panel. Come in, she called out. Margot LaSalle stepped inside, her expression wary. The resemblance between the two women was unmistakable, though Margot's attire was more modest, her demeanor less polished. Vivian, Margot began cautiously. We need to talk. Vivian's smile was tight. It's been a long time, sister. Margot glanced around the opulent room, her eyes lingering on the lavish furnishings. You've done well for yourself. Is that why you're here? To admire the decor? Margot met her gaze. I heard about Lucas. I'm sorry. Are you? Vivian's tone was edged with bitterness. You didn't seem too concerned when you disappeared all those years ago. Margot took a deep breath. I made mistakes. But I'm here now. I want to help. Vivian arched an eyebrow. Help? With what? With whatever you're planning. Margot's eyes searched her sister's face. I know you, Vivian. I know when you're scheming. A tense silence filled the room. Finally, Vivian spoke, her voice cold. You don't know anything about me. I know more than you think, Margot replied quietly. And so does Jonas. Vivian's composure faltered ever so slightly at the mention of the name. Jonas Blackwell is irrelevant. Is he? He reached out to me. Said he has information that could ruin everything you've built. Vivian's eyes hardened. Stay out of this, Margot. You have no idea what you're getting involved in. Margot stepped closer. Let me help you. We can figure this out together. Vivian studied her sister for a moment, calculating. Fine. Perhaps there is a way you can assist. The next day, Detective Crane returned to the manor, greeted at the door by the ever-efficient housekeeper. As he was led to the drawing room, he couldn't shake the feeling that he was being drawn into a carefully laid trap. Vivian awaited him, poised and composed. Detective Crane, to what do I owe the pleasure? He offered a polite smile. I had a few more questions, if you don't mind. Not at all, she replied, gesturing for him to sit. Anything to assist the investigation. Crane settled into the plush armchair. We've reviewed some of Lucas's business dealings and found irregularities. Do you know anything about that? Vivian's expression was a mask of concern. Henry mentioned something similar. I'm afraid Lucas kept much of his work separate from our personal life. Understandable, Crane said. But any information could be helpful. She sighed delicately. I wish I could be more assistance. Lucas was under a lot of stress lately. He mentioned feeling threatened, but wouldn't elaborate. Crane leaned forward. Threatened? By whom? I don't know, she said softly, her eyes downcast. But there was a man. I saw him outside the estate a few times. Rough looking, always watching. Did you report this? Lucas insisted it was nothing, she replied. But now, with what's happened? Crane's mind raced. Do you have any description of this man? Vivian nodded, her gaze meeting his. Tall, rugged, with a scar above his left eye. Dark hair, mid-40s. The description matched Jonas Blackwell, a name Crane was all too familiar with. A career criminal with a history of extortion and violence. Mrs. Hawthorne, this is important information, he said gravely. Why didn't you mention this before? I suppose I didn't realize its significance, she replied, her voice tinged with just the right amount of regret. Everything has been such a blur. Crane stood. Thank you, Vivian. You've been very helpful. As he left, Vivian allowed herself a small, satisfied smile. The seeds were planted. That evening, Margot wandered the halls of the manor, her footsteps echoing softly against the marble floors. She paused by a portrait of Lucas and Vivian, their smiles frozen in time. The opulence of her sister's life was a stark contrast to her own struggles. Lost? Vivian's voice drifted from behind her. Margot turned, forcing a smile. Just admiring the artwork. Vivian approached, her eyes unreadable. We need to discuss Jonas. What about him? Margot asked cautiously. I've informed the detective about a suspicious man matching his description, Vivian said calmly. It's only a matter of time before they find him. Margot's eyes widened. Vivian, you can't. I can and I have, she interrupted. Jonas is a threat to both of us. This is the only way. You're framing him, Margot whispered. This isn't right. Vivian's expression hardened. Don't grow a conscience now, sister. You came here for a reason. Remember that. Margot swallowed hard, the weight of her choices pressing down on her. What do you need me to do? As night settled over the manor, Vivian retreated to her study. She poured herself a glass of red wine, the rich aroma filling the air. The game was in motion, and every piece was falling into place. But beneath her calculated exterior, a sliver of uncertainty lingered. Memories of Lucas's harsh words and controlling grip surfaced, fueling her resolve. This is what he deserved, she told herself. What they all deserve. A soft knock interrupted her thoughts. Enter, she called out. Dr. Penelope Marks stepped inside, her gaze sharp. Mrs. Hawthorne, I hope I'm not intruding. Vivian masked her surprise. Not at all. What brings you here at this hour? I wanted to follow up on our earlier conversation, Marks said, her tone measured. Mind if I sit? Please, Vivian gestured to a chair. Can I offer you a drink? No, thank you. Mark settled in, her eyes never leaving Vivian's face. I find it helpful to speak in a more informal setting. Vivian smiled politely. Of course. How can I assist you? Mark leaned forward slightly. You've been through a traumatic experience, and yet you seem remarkably composed. Vivian tilted her head. Is that so unusual? Grief manifests differently for everyone. Indeed, Mark agreed. But sometimes people in shock overlook details that could be important. Details? Vivian's fingers tightened subtly around her glass. Yes, Mark continued. For instance, you mentioned seeing a man watching the estate. Did you ever consider hiring additional security? Lucas dismissed my concerns, Vivian replied smoothly. He believed it was unnecessary. I see. Mark paused, gauging her reaction. And your sister, when did she arrive? Vivian's eyes flickered. Margot came after hearing about Lucas. We're not particularly close. Family can be complicated, Mark said sympathetically. May I speak with her? I'm afraid she's resting, Vivian replied. Perhaps tomorrow. Of course. Mark stood, offering a thin smile. Thank you for your time, Mrs. Hawthorne. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you remember anything else. As the psychologist left, Vivian exhaled slowly. Dr. Marks was proving to be more perceptive than anticipated. She would need to be handled carefully. In the quiet of the night, Detective Crane pored over case files in his cramped office. The description Vivian provided of the mysterious man matched Jonas Blackwell, a man with a long criminal record and a history with Lucas Hawthorne. What's your connection to all this? Crane muttered to himself. A knock on the door drew his attention. An officer poked his head in. Detective, we got a lead on Jonas Blackwell's whereabouts. Crane grabbed his coat. Let's move. At a rundown motel on the outskirts of town, Jonas Blackwell paced the threadbare carpet, his mind racing. He hadn't expected Vivian to act so swiftly, or so ruthlessly. A faint sound outside put him on alert. He moved to the window, peering through the grimy glass. Undercover police vehicles were converging. Damn it, he cursed under his breath. He grabbed a duffel bag and headed for the back exit, but it was too late. Officers swarmed the area, weapons drawn. Jonas Blackwell, this is the police. Come out with your hands up. Trap, Jonas weighed his options. Surrender meant imprisonment, or worse, being silenced before he could expose Vivian. Escape seemed impossible. News of Jonas's arrest spread quickly. At the manor, Vivian watched the report with a satisfied smile. One more obstacle removed. But as she turned off the television, a nagging feeling gnawed at her. Margot's wavering loyalty, Dr. Marks's suspicions, and Detective Crane's growing doubts all threatened to unravel her carefully laid plans. She steeled herself, determination hardening her resolve. Failure was not an option. She had come too far, sacrificed too much. In the depths of the police station, Jonas sat in an interrogation room, his hands cuffed to the table. Detective Crane entered, his expression unreadable. Long time, Jonas, Crane began. Jonas smirked. Wish I could say it's good to see you. Why were you stalking the Hawthorne estate? I wasn't stalking anyone, Jonas retorted. I was trying to save someone. Crane raised an eyebrow. Save who? Vivian Hawthorne, Jonas said, leaning forward. She's not who you think she is. Crane studied him carefully. Enlighten me. Jonas took a deep breath. Vivian and I go way back. She's dangerous, detective. She played Lucas like a fiddle, and now she's playing you. That's a bold claim, Crane replied skeptically. Check her past, Jonas insisted. Real name's Vivian LaSalle. Changed it years ago. She's got a trail of dead men behind her. Crane felt a chill run down his spine. Why should I believe you? Because I'm the only one willing to tell the truth, Jonas said earnestly. Before she silences me for good. Chapter 4, Ghosts of the Past. The cool night air clung to the sprawling grounds of Hawthorne Manor, and the moon cast a pale glow over the estate. Inside the drawing room, Vivian sat before the fireplace, her face illuminated by the flickering flames. Her features were calm, serene even, but her mind was anything but. Margot's sudden arrival, Jonas's looming presence, and Crane's dogged investigation were threads she needed to pull, delicately and without unraveling her plan. Her fingers brushed against the old letters in her lap, letters from a life she had buried deep. The handwriting, a harsh scrawl, was unmistakable, Jonas Blackwell. She read over one for the 100th time. You think you're free, Viv? You're not. You owe me. Don't forget what I know about you. Vivian's grip tightened on the paper before she tossed it into the flames, watching as the words turned to ash. Down in the village, Detective Elijah Crane was sifting through records at the precinct. The information Jonas had provided nagged at him. Vivian LaSalle. The name was unfamiliar, yet the more he thought about it, the more plausible Jonas's claims seemed. Something about Vivian didn't add up. "Got something for you," an officer said, dropping a file onto Crane's desk. "Pulled her background like you asked. Vivian Hawthorne was born Vivian LaSalle. Changed her name about 10 years ago." Crane's brow furrowed as he opened the file. The report was thin, too thin for someone with her history. A few references to a troubled upbringing, a missing persons report on her sister Margot years ago, and a short stint in a small town before she'd seemingly vanished. "She's careful," Crane muttered to himself. "Too careful. What's that?" Dr. Penelope Marks entered, a cup of coffee in hand. Crane held up the file. Jonas wasn't lying about her name. Vivian Hawthorne used to be Vivian LaSalle. "I think there's more to her story than she's letting on." Marks sat down across from him. "Vivian, or Vivian, isn't your average widow. She's calculated, manipulative. If Jonas is telling the truth, she could be a lot more dangerous than we thought." Crane leaned back, running a hand through his hair. "I just need to prove it." At the manor, Vivian found Margot pacing the hallway, her anxiety palpable. Margot looked up as Vivian approached, her expression a mix of anger and fear. "We need to talk," Margot said, her voice low. Vivian sighed, motioning for her to follow into the study. Once the door was shut, Margot rounded on her. "What are you doing, Vivian?" Margot hissed. "You're setting Jonas up for something he didn't do." Vivian's expression hardened. "Jonas is a loose end, Margot. He always has been. You know what happens when loose ends aren't dealt with." Margot shook her head, her voice trembling. "This isn't like before. You're playing with fire." Vivian stepped closer, her tone cold. "And what would you suggest? Let Jonas expose everything? Destroy the life I've built?" Margot hesitated, tears brimming in her eyes. "Maybe it's time to stop running, Vivian. You've got everything you ever wanted. Why keep digging the hole deeper?" Vivian's lips curled into a humorless smile. "You think this life just happened? That it was handed to me? I worked for this, Margot. I earned it. And I'll be damned if I let anyone take it from me. Not Jonas, not the police, not you." Margot's shoulders slumped, defeat washing over her. "You've changed, Vivian." Vivian's gaze didn't waver. "No, Margot. I've survived." The next day, Crane and Marks visited a small diner on the outskirts of town, a place Crane had discovered during his digging. The owner, an older woman named Lila, had known Vivian LaSalle years ago. "You're asking about Viv?" Lila said, her eyes narrowing. "Haven't heard that name in a long time. What can you tell us about her?" Crane asked. Lila leaned against the counter, her expression wary. "Vivian came here with her sister, Margot. Two girls with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Didn't talk much about where they came from, but it wasn't good. I gave them jobs, tried to help. And then," Marks prompted. Lila sighed. "Viv was trouble. Sweet as honey when she wanted something, but there was a darkness to her. One day, she just disappeared. Left Margot behind." "Why?" Crane asked. "Don't know," Lila said, her tone bitter. "But it wasn't long after that Jonas Blackwell showed up asking questions. He was bad news, that one. Always had a temper." Crane exchanged a look with Marks. "Do you remember anything else about Jonas or Vivian?" Lila hesitated, then reached under the counter, pulling out a faded photograph. "This is the only thing I've got left of her." Crane studied the photo, a younger Vivian, her smile dazzling, but her eyes hiding something darker. In the background stood Jonas Blackwell, his arm possessively around her. Back at the precinct, Crane pinned the photograph to the caseboard, his mind working overtime. Every piece of the puzzle pointed to one conclusion. Vivian was far more involved in Lucas's death than she claimed. But he needed proof, and he needed it fast. A knock at his office door startled him. It was Margot. "I need to talk to you," she said, her voice shaking. Crane gestured for her to sit. "What's on your mind?" Margot hesitated, her hands trembling. "It's about Vivian. She's lying to you. About everything." "Go on," Crane urged. "She wasn't always Vivian Hawthorne," Margot began. "We grew up in hell, a mother who didn't care, a father who drank himself to death. Viv did whatever it took to survive. She learned to manipulate, to lie. And Jonas, he was part of that life. What's his connection to Lucas's death?" Crane pressed. Margot's gaze dropped. "I don't know for sure. But Jonas has something on her, something big. And if he's arrested, Vivian will do whatever it takes to make sure he never talks. Crane leaned forward, his voice firm. Why are you telling me this now? Tears slid down Margot's cheeks. Because I can't live with the guilt anymore. Lucas didn't deserve what happened to him. And if you don't stop Vivian, someone else will end up dead. Later that night, Vivian stood at the edge of the estate's lake, the moonlight reflecting off the water. She held a small locket in her hand, one Lucas had given her on their anniversary. Inside was a photo of the two of them, smiling and carefree. You always underestimated me, Lucas, she whispered, her voice barely audible. But you were the one who taught me to be ruthless. She dropped the locket into the water, watching as it disappeared beneath the surface. Behind her, Margot's voice broke the silence. Vivian. Vivian didn't turn. What is it, Margot? I talked to Crane, Margot admitted. Vivian's shoulders tensed. Slowly, she turned, her expression unreadable. Did you? He's going to find out the truth, Margot said, her voice trembling. It's over, Vivian. Vivian stepped closer, her gaze icy. It's only over when I say it's over. Margot stared at her sister, fear and sadness warring in her eyes. You've lost yourself. No, Margot, Vivian replied, her tone calm and deadly. I've found exactly who I need to be. As Margot walked away, Vivian turned back to the lake, her mind already plotting her next move. The game was far from over. Chapter 5, The First Slip. The rain returned, drumming softly against the windows of Hawthorne Manor. Vivian stood at the bay window of the drawing room, her gaze fixed on the stormy horizon. She cradled a glass of red wine in her hand, but she wasn't drinking it. Instead, she swirled the liquid slowly, her mind running through scenarios, countermeasures, and risks. Margot's betrayal had rattled her more than she cared to admit. She thinks she can stop me, Vivian thought coldly. She forgets who taught her how to survive. A soft chime broke her concentration. She set her glass down and walked to her desk, where her laptop rested. The screen illuminated her face as she opened an email marked urgent. It was from Jonas. We need to talk. Tonight. I have something you'll want to see. Vivian's lips curled into a smirk. Jonas was bold, too bold. He must have thought he had the upper hand. She began typing a reply, her fingers steady, betraying none of the tension in her body. Fine. Midnight. The boathouse. Down at the precinct, Detective Elijah Crane sifted through the growing mountain of evidence on his desk. Jonas's arrest had opened doors, but every new lead seemed to raise more questions. Margot's confession painted Vivian as a master manipulator, but so far, there was no hard evidence tying her to Lucas's death. Anything new? Dr. Marks asked, stepping into his office. Crane shook his head, frustration etched on his face. We know she's lying. We know she's hiding something. But I can't prove it. Marks folded her arms, her sharp gaze fixed on him. What about Jonas? He's still insisting Vivian orchestrated everything. Crane leaned back in his chair, running a hand through his hair. Jonas has a history of criminal activity and zero credibility. If we're going to bring her down, we need more than his word. Mark sat across from him, her tone thoughtful. Margot's confession could be the key. If she's willing to testify. She's terrified of Vivian, Crane interrupted. And honestly, I don't blame her. A heavy silence fell between them before Mark spoke again. Sometimes you don't wait for the truth to come to you. You force it out. Crane glanced at her, intrigued. What are you suggesting? We apply pressure, Marks replied. Find her weak spot and exploit it. Crane nodded slowly. She's been careful so far. But everyone slips up eventually. At the stroke of midnight, Vivian walked through the storm to the boathouse. Her silk robe and raincoat clung to her as the wind whipped her hair around her face. The boathouse loomed ahead, dark and foreboding, the faint glow of a single lantern visible through the windows. She stepped inside, her heels clicking softly against the wooden floorboards. Jonas sat at a small table, his duffel bag at his feet. His face was gaunt, the lines around his eyes deeper than she remembered. Viv, he greeted, his voice a low rumble. You're looking well. Cut the pleasantries, Jonas, Vivian replied coolly. What do you want? Jonas leaned back, a smirk playing on his lips. You've been busy, haven't you? Poor Lucas. You really did him in, didn't you? Vivian's eyes narrowed, but her voice remained steady. You have nothing, Jonas. If you did, you wouldn't be hiding in the shadows. He reached into the duffel bag and pulled out a stack of photographs, tossing them onto the table. Vivian stepped closer, her breath catching as she recognized the images. They were from years ago, images of her and Jonas during their time together, including one damning photograph of her holding a bundle of cash while Jonas loaded a body into the trunk of a car. "These are just the beginning," Jonas said. "I've got more. Enough to send you away for a very long time." Vivian's mask of composure didn't falter. "And what do you want in return for your silence?" Jonas grinned, leaning forward. "You know what I want? Half of Lucas's fortune. That should keep me comfortable for the rest of my life." Vivian tilted her head, studying him. "Half? You always were greedy." "Consider it payment for keeping your secrets," Jonas replied. "You're welcome." Vivian let out a soft laugh, the sound chilling in its calmness. "You think you're in control, Jonas. But you've forgotten one thing." "And what's that?" he asked, his tone cocky. "I never leave loose ends," she said, her voice turning icy. Before Jonas could react, Vivian pulled a small blade from her coat pocket and drove it into his chest with swift precision. His eyes widened in shock as he clutched at the knife, blood spreading across his shirt. "You," he choked, but the words didn't come. Vivian stepped back, watching dispassionately as Jonas collapsed to the floor. She waited until his breathing stopped before retrieving the photographs and tossing them into the lantern's flame. The following morning, Crane received a call from an officer stationed near Hawthorne Manor. "Detective, we've got a report. A fisherman found a body near the boathouse on the Hawthorne estate. It's Jonas Blackwell." Crane's stomach tightened. "I'm on my way." When he arrived at the scene, the air was thick with tension. The body had been pulled from the water, and the coroner was already at work. "What do we have?" Crane asked. "Stab wound to the chest," the officer replied. "But no murder weapon." Crane crouched by the body, his jaw clenched. This wasn't a random act of violence. This was deliberate, and he knew exactly who was behind it. Back at Hawthorne Manor, Vivian greeted Crane at the door, her expression a perfect mix of surprise and concern. "Detective, what brings you here so early?" she asked. "We found a body on your property," Crane said bluntly. "Jonas Blackwell." Vivian feigned shock, her hand flying to her mouth. "Oh my God, that's terrible. What happened?" "That's what we're trying to figure out," Crane replied, his eyes fixed on her. "Mind if I ask where you were last night?" Vivian didn't miss a beat. "I was here, of course. I wasn't feeling well, so I retired early. The staff can confirm." Crane nodded, his expression unreadable. "Of course. We'll need to ask them a few questions." "Whatever you need, detective," Vivian said, her voice steady. "I want to help in any way I can." As Crane left, his instincts screamed at him. Vivian's story was flawless, too flawless. She was slipping, but he needed more. One wrong move, and she could slither out of his grasp for good. In the privacy of her study, Vivian poured herself another glass of wine, her hands steady despite the events of the night. Jonas was gone, another loose end tied up. But Crane was getting too close, and Margot's betrayal lingered in her mind. She picked up her phone and dialed a number. When the line connected, she spoke with quiet authority. "It's done. But we have another problem. Margot, handle it." As she ended the call, Vivian allowed herself a moment to breathe. The game was growing more dangerous, but she had no intention of losing. Not now. Not ever. Chapter 6, The Widow's Web. The morning after Jonas Blackwell's body was discovered, Hawthorne Manor buzzed with quiet activity. Staff moved cautiously, their whispers echoing through the grand halls. Vivian sat at the head of the dining table, her breakfast untouched. A newspaper lay folded by her side, the headline glaring back at her. "Jonas Blackwell found dead near Hawthorne Estate." Vivian stared at the words, her mind already racing through the narrative she needed to solidify. Jonas's death was both a relief and a complication. She had eliminated the immediate threat, but now the web she had spun was tightening around her. Detective Elijah Crane stood in his precinct office, staring at a board covered in photographs, documents, and timelines. Jonas's death had tipped the case into new territory. His gut told him Vivian was involved, but proving it would require threading the needle of her lies. "You're obsessing," Dr. Penelope Marks said, leaning against the doorway. Crane didn't look up. "She's the key to all of this. Lucas, Jonas, it all comes back to her." Marks walked in and picked up a photograph of Vivian from the board. "She's a master manipulator. Every move she makes is calculated. But even the best manipulators have blind spots." Crane leaned back in his chair, his jaw tightening. "Her sister, Margot. She's the weak link." Marks nodded. "If Margot cracks, Vivian's entire story falls apart. But that depends on whether Margot's fear of Vivian outweighs her guilt." At the manor, Margot paced nervously in her guest room. She had barely slept since Jonas's death. Every creak of the old house, every shadow in the hallway, felt like Vivian's eyes on her. She knew too much, and Vivian would stop at nothing to protect herself. A knock on her door startled her. She froze, her heart pounding. "Margot." Vivian's voice was calm, but there was an edge to it. "We need to talk." Margot hesitated before opening the door. Vivian stood there, her expression unreadable. "May I come in?" Vivian asked, her tone leaving no room for refusal. Margot stepped aside, and Vivian entered, her eyes scanning the room briefly before settling on her sister. "Margot, I've been thinking about Jonas," Vivian began, her voice measured. "It's tragic what happened to him." Margot swallowed hard. "Is it?" Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile. "Of course. No one deserves to die like that. But it does raise a question. Who could have done such a thing?" Margot's hands clenched at her sides. "Why are you telling me this?" Vivian stepped closer, her eyes narrowing. "Because you're my sister, and I need to know where your loyalties lie." Margot's breath hitched. "My loyalties? You think I?" "I think you've been talking to Detective Crane," Vivian interrupted, her tone icy. "And I think you've forgotten what happens to people who betray me." Margot's eyes filled with tears. "Vivian, please. I didn't say anything that could hurt you." Vivian tilted her head, studying her sister. "Good. Because if I find out otherwise, Margot, you won't have to worry about Detective Crane. You'll have to worry about me." Later that day, Crane parked his car just outside the Hawthorne estate, the sprawling grounds as imposing as ever. He wasn't here on official business. This visit was personal. He rang the bell, and a moment later, the housekeeper opened the door. "Detective Crane," she said, surprised. "I wasn't expecting you." "I'm here to see Margot," Crane said, stepping inside before she could protest. The housekeeper hesitated before nodding. "I'll let her know." A few minutes later, Margot appeared at the top of the grand staircase, her face pale. She descended slowly, her hands gripping the railing as though it were the only thing keeping her upright. "Detective," she greeted him quietly. "What are you doing here?" "We need to talk," Crane said, his voice firm. "Somewhere private." Margot glanced around nervously before nodding. "The garden." As they walked outside, Margot kept glancing over her shoulder, her anxiety palpable. They stopped by a stone bench near the edge of the estate, far enough from the manor to avoid prying ears. "What is it, Detective?" Margot asked, her voice barely above a whisper. "Jonas is dead," Crane said bluntly. "And I think your sister had something to do with it." Margot's face crumpled, but she quickly composed herself. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Margot, listen to me," Crane pressed. "Vivian is dangerous. She's manipulating everyone around her, but the truth always comes out. If you know something, anything, you need to tell me." Tears welled up in Margot's eyes. "You don't understand. She'll kill me if she finds out I talked to you." "She won't touch you," Crane said firmly. "I'll make sure of that." Margot hesitated, her fear warring with her guilt. Finally, she spoke. "Vivian, she's not who you think she is. She's done terrible things, Detective. But I don't have proof." "Then help me get it," Crane said. "Together, we can stop her." Margot nodded weakly, her resolve crumbling. "What do you need me to do?" That evening, Vivian sat in her study, sipping her wine as she reviewed financial documents. Everything was falling into place. Jonas was gone, and Margot was under control, or so she thought. A soft knock at the door interrupted her thoughts. "Come in," she called. The housekeeper entered, her expression apologetic. "Mrs. Hawthorne, Detective Crane was here earlier." Vivian's eyes narrowed. "What did he want?" "He spoke to Miss Margot," the housekeeper said hesitantly. "They went to the garden." Vivian's grip on her wine glass tightened, but she forced a calm smile. "Thank you. That will be all." As the door closed, Vivian set her glass down and leaned back in her chair, her mind racing. Crane was digging, and Margot was fragile. Too fragile. Picking up her phone, Vivian made a call. "It's time to accelerate the plan," she said coldly. "Take care of Margot. Make it look like an accident." That night, Margot paced her room, unable to shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. She double-checked the locks on her door, but it did little to ease her fear. Hours passed, and the house grew silent. Just as Margot was beginning to think she was safe, she heard the faint creak of floorboards outside her door. Her heart pounded as she grabbed a lamp for protection. "Who's there?" she whispered. The door handle turned slowly, and Margot's blood ran cold. Meanwhile, Crane sat in his car outside the estate, his instincts screaming at him. Something about Margot's behavior earlier had unsettled him, and he couldn't shake the feeling that she was in danger. Grabbing his flashlight, Crane stepped out of the car and made his way toward the manor, the storm masking his approach. As he reached the side of the house, he saw a shadow move across one of the windows. "Margot," he muttered under his breath, quickening his pace. Inside, Margot backed away from the door as it slowly opened. A dark figure stepped inside and Margot screamed. Chapter 7, The Breaking Point. The scream cut through the silence of the manor like a blade, driving Detective Elijah Crane into action. His flashlight's beam danced across the ornate hallway as he sprinted toward the source of the sound. "Margot!" Crane shouted, his voice reverberating off the walls. He burst into her room to find Margot pressed against the far wall, her face pale with terror. A shadowy figure loomed over her, but as soon as Crane entered, the intruder turned and bolted, knocking over a chair in their haste. "Stay here," Crane ordered, his gun drawn as he took off after the figure. The chase led Crane through the labyrinthine corridors of Hawthorne Manor, the storm outside masking the sound of footsteps. The figure darted into the servants' quarters, disappearing into the maze of back hallways. Crane's heart pounded as he rounded a corner, catching sight of the intruder just as they slipped out a side door. He followed them into the rain-soaked garden, his shoes sinking into the soft earth. "Stop!" Crane commanded, but the figure kept running. The pursuit ended near the boathouse. The intruder stumbled on the wet grass, and Crane seized his moment, tackling them to the ground. The two struggled briefly before Crane pinned the figure and yanked back their hood, revealing a young man, his face pale and rain-slicked. "Who are you?" Crane demanded, holding the man down. The intruder squirmed but didn't answer. "Talk!" Crane barked, pressing his knee into the man's back. "I was paid," the man blurted, his voice shaking. "That's all I know. I was paid to scare her." "By who?" Crane's voice was low, deadly. The man hesitated, his eyes darting around like a trapped animal. I don't know her name. It was just a job." Crane's eyes narrowed. "Her? You mean Vivian Hawthorne?" The man didn't respond, but his silence spoke volumes. Inside the manor, Margot sat trembling on the edge of her bed, her hands clutching the silk robe wrapped around her. The housekeeper brought her a cup of tea, her hands shaking as she placed it on the nightstand. "Thank you," Margot whispered, her voice barely audible. Vivian appeared in the doorway, her expression a mix of concern and curiosity. "Margot, what happened?" "I heard the commotion." Margot flinched at the sound of her sister's voice, her eyes wide with fear. "Someone tried to kill me." Vivian's lips parted in what looked like shock, but Margot saw the flicker of calculation behind her eyes. "That's awful. Who would do such a thing?" Margot stared at her, trembling. "I don't know." Vivian walked into the room, her movements slow and deliberate. "You're safe now. I'll make sure the staff doubles their security measures." Margot's heart raced as Vivian's hand lightly touched her shoulder. The gesture was meant to comfort, but it felt like a warning. Later, in the privacy of her study, Vivian placed a call. Her voice was calm but edged with anger. "You told me it would look like an accident," she hissed. "Now the police are involved." The voice on the other end stammered, offering excuses, but Vivian cut them off. "No more mistakes. Take care of it." She ended the call and leaned back in her chair, her mind racing. Margot was becoming a liability, and Crane was getting too close. She needed to act quickly to maintain control. The next morning, Crane sat across from Margot in a small cafe in town. The rain had stopped, but the sky remained overcast, matching Margot's somber mood. "I need you to tell me everything," Crane said gently. "What do you know about Vivian's involvement in all this?" Margot sipped her coffee, her hands still trembling. "Vivian, she's not who people think she is. She's ruthless, manipulative. Lucas's death wasn't an accident. She planned it." Crane leaned forward. "Do you have proof?" Margot shook her head. "No, but I know her. She hated Lucas. She wanted his money, his power. And Jonas, he knew too much. She got rid of him too." Crane's jaw tightened. "Why didn't you come forward sooner?" Margot's eyes filled with tears. "Because she's my sister. And because I'm afraid of her." Crane reached across the table, placing a reassuring hand on hers. "You're doing the right thing. But if we're going to stop her, I need something concrete." Margot hesitated, then nodded. "There's something." Lucas kept a journal. He wrote everything down, his suspicions about Vivian, their arguments, even things about Jonas. "If it's still in the house, it could be the proof you need." Crane's pulse quickened. "Where is it?" Margot closed her eyes, trying to remember. He always kept it in the study in a locked drawer. But if Vivian found it? Crane nodded. We'll find it. Back at Hawthorne Manor, Vivian stood in Lucas's study, her hands resting on the desk. She had already destroyed most of the evidence that could implicate her, but the journal was still unaccounted for. She opened the drawers one by one, her frustration mounting as she searched. Finally, in the bottom drawer, hidden beneath a stack of old papers, she found it, a leather-bound journal with Lucas's initials embossed on the cover. Vivian flipped through the pages, her eyes narrowing as she read Lucas's entries. He had written about their arguments, his distrust of her, and his plans to meet with Jonas before his death. Her grip on the journal tightened. This could ruin everything, she thought. She needed to destroy it before Crane got his hands on it. That evening, Crane returned to the manor with a search warrant in hand. Vivian greeted him at the door, her expression calm, but her eyes wary. Detective Crane, she said smoothly. What brings you here again? We have a warrant, Crane replied, holding up the document. We're searching the premises for evidence related to Jonas Blackwell's death. Vivian's lips tightened, but she stepped aside. Of course. Please feel free to look around. As the officers began their search, Crane made his way to the study. Vivian followed closely, her heels clicking softly against the marble floor. What exactly are you hoping to find, detective? Vivian asked, her tone light but laced with tension. Anything that ties Jonas Blackwell or Lucas Hawthorne to their deaths, Crane replied, his eyes scanning the room. Vivian leaned against the doorframe, watching him closely. I think you're grasping at straws. Crane didn't respond. Instead, he walked to the desk and opened the drawers. He found nothing out of the ordinary until he reached the bottom drawer. His hand hesitated for a moment before pulling out the leather-bound journal. Vivian's eyes darkened. That's private property. Not anymore, Crane said, flipping through the pages. His heart raced as he read Lucas's entries. The words painted a damning picture of Vivian, a woman capable of lies, manipulation, and even murder. You have no right to that, Vivian said, her voice sharp. Crane looked up, his expression steely. This journal tells a very different story, Mrs. Hawthorne. A story you've been trying to hide. Vivian's composure cracked for a split second before she regained control. You won't find anything incriminating in there. My husband was paranoid, detective. He saw enemies everywhere. Maybe, Crane said, slipping the journal into an evidence bag. But it's enough to warrant further investigation. As Crane left the room, journal in hand, Vivian stood frozen, her mind racing. The walls were closing in, and she was running out of time. But the game wasn't over yet. Not by a long shot. Chapter 8, The Deadly Gambit. The storm returned that night, fierce and unrelenting, as though nature itself was reflecting the chaos within Hawthorne Manor. Vivian sat in her bedroom, the soft glow of a single lamp casting shadows across her face. She held a glass of scotch this time, Lucas's drink of choice, a mocking tribute to the man whose life she had ended. Her carefully constructed world was unraveling. The discovery of Lucas's journal had shifted the power dynamic. Crane had something tangible now, something that could connect her to the web of lies she had spun. But Vivian Hawthorne had not survived this long by giving up. If Crane wanted a game, she would play to win. In his precinct office, Detective Elijah Crane sat at his desk, poring over Lucas's journal. The entries painted a vivid picture of the toxic marriage between Lucas and Vivian. Lucas had detailed her manipulations, her penchant for control, and his growing suspicion that she wanted him gone. One entry stood out. She's been meeting Jonas. I don't know what they're planning, but I can't ignore it anymore. If something happens to me, look at her first. She's the only one with everything to gain. Crane leaned back in his chair, the weight of the words sinking in. Vivian was smart, too smart to leave obvious evidence. But Lucas's intuition, combined with Jonas's connection, was enough to turn suspicion into a case. He just needed one more push, something undeniable. A knock at the door broke his concentration. Dr. Penelope Marks entered, a file in her hands. You've been busy, she said, setting the file on his desk. I had the team look deeper into Vivian's finances. Crane opened the file and scanned the documents. Large, unexplained transfers of money. Offshore accounts. Transactions made days before Lucas's death. She was preparing to make a move, Marks said. Looks like she wanted to secure the fortune before anyone could question her. Crane's jaw tightened. It's all lining up. But we need something concrete. A confession. Witness testimony. Marks raised an eyebrow. And how do you plan to get that? She's not the type to crack. Crane's lips pressed into a grim line. Then we'll make her crack. At the manor, Vivian made her move. She summoned Margot to the study, the room still filled with the faint scent of Lucas's cologne. Margot entered hesitantly, her nerves evident. "Vivian," Margot began, but her sister cut her off. "Sit," Vivian said, her voice cold and commanding. Margot obeyed, her hands twisting in her lap. "You've been speaking to Crane," Vivian said bluntly. "Don't deny it." Margot's eyes widened. I didn't mean to." "You didn't mean to?" Vivian's laugh was sharp and humorless. "You've jeopardized everything I've worked for. Do you have any idea what's at stake?" Tears welled in Margot's eyes. "I didn't tell him anything that could hurt you. I swear." Vivian leaned forward, her gaze piercing. "You've always been weak, Margot. But weakness doesn't excuse betrayal." "I wasn't trying to betray you," Margot pleaded. "I was scared. You've gone too far." Vivian's expression softened for a moment, a mask of sorrow slipping into place. "Everything I've done to protect us." "To protect you?" Margot blinked, confused. "Protect me?" Vivian reached across the desk, taking Margot's hand in hers. "Lucas was dangerous, Margot. You saw what he was capable of. If I hadn't acted, he would have destroyed us both." Margot stared at her sister, the lines between truth and manipulation blurring. "I don't know what to believe anymore." "Believe me," Vivian said, her voice a whisper. "Help me finish this, and we can both walk away. Free." Margot hesitated, torn between fear and loyalty. "What do you need me to do?" Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile. "We need to ensure Detective Crane doesn't find anything else. Can I trust you, Margot?" Margot nodded slowly, her heart sinking as she realized there was no escape. Crane's plan was already in motion. That night, he returned to the manor, this time with Dr. Marks by his side. They were armed with more than just evidence. They had a strategy to force Vivian into a mistake. Vivian greeted them in the drawing room, her composure flawless as ever. She wore a black silk dress, her demeanor poised and inviting. "Detective Crane, Dr. Marks," she said smoothly. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" "We're here to discuss Lucas's journal," Crane replied, his tone steady. "It raises some serious questions about your involvement in his death." Vivian's smile didn't falter. "I see. And you've come to accuse me directly?" Crane met her gaze. "Not accuse. Confirm." Vivian gestured to the seating area. "Please sit. Let's discuss this like civilized people." Crane and Marks sat, but the tension in the room was palpable. Vivian poured herself a drink, her movements deliberate. "So," she began, taking a sip. "What exactly does Lucas's journal say about me?" "It details his suspicions," Marks said. "His belief that you were manipulating him, controlling him. That you wanted him gone." Vivian chuckled softly, shaking her head. "Lucas was paranoid. He saw betrayal in every shadow. He thought everyone was out to get him." Crane leaned forward. "Including Jonas Blackwell?" Vivian's hand stilled on her glass for the briefest moment. "Jonas? I barely knew him." Crane pressed on. "He was found dead on your property. Stabbed. That's more than a coincidence. Tragic, isn't it?" Vivian said, her voice calm. "But surely you don't think I had anything to do with that?" Crane didn't respond. Instead, he pulled out a photograph and placed it on the table. It was of Vivian and Jonas, taken years ago. Her arm was looped through his, their connection undeniable. Vivian's expression tightened. "Where did you get that? Does it matter?" Crane asked. "What matters is that you lied." Vivian's eyes flickered with something. Anger, perhaps, but she quickly recovered. "Fine. Jonas and I knew each other once. That doesn't mean I killed him." Crane leaned back, his gaze unyielding. "Your sister doesn't seem so sure." Vivian's composure cracked for a split second. "Margot." Crane stood, his voice firm. "She told us everything. About your past. About Lucas. About Jonas." Vivian's hand clenched into a fist. "She's lying. Is she?" Crane asked, his tone sharp. "Or is she finally telling the truth?" Vivian's eyes burned with fury, but she forced herself to remain calm. "You have no proof." "Not yet," Crane said. "But we will." As Crane and Marks left the manor, Vivian stood in the doorway, her mind racing. The walls were closing in, and her sister had betrayed her. But Vivian wasn't done. Not yet. Later that night, Margot sat in her room, the weight of her decisions pressing down on her. A soft knock at the door made her jump. "Margot!" Vivian's voice called softly. Margot hesitated before opening the door. Vivian stood there, her expression unreadable. "We need to talk," Vivian said. Margot nodded, her fear palpable. Vivian stepped inside, closing the door behind her. "I've always protected you, haven't I?" Margot nodded again, her throat tightening. "Then trust me one last time," Vivian said, her voice low. "Together, we can fix this." Margot stared at her sister, the lines between love and fear blurring. "What do you mean?" Vivian smiled faintly. "You'll see." Chapter 9, The Truth Unveiled. The storm raged outside, its howling winds and pounding rain creating an ominous symphony around Hawthorne Manor. Inside, Detective Elijah Crane sat in his car at the edge of the estate, his gaze fixed on the dark silhouette of the house. He had waited long enough. Tonight, Vivian Hawthorne's lies would crumble. With Dr. Penelope Marks by his side, Crane walked toward the manor, the gravel crunching under his boots. His resolve was unwavering. The journal, Margot's confession, and Vivian's financial records painted a damning picture. Now, all that remained was to confront her and force her to reveal the full extent of her crimes. Inside the manor, Vivian stood in front of her bedroom mirror, her reflection calm, her demeanor poised. But beneath her composed exterior, her mind raced. Margot was no longer a reliable pawn, and Crane was tightening his grip. She had to act decisively, or everything she had built would collapse. The sound of the doorbell echoed through the house. Vivian took a deep breath, adjusted her silk robe, and descended the grand staircase. "Detective Crane," she greeted, her voice as smooth as glass. "Dr. Marks, to what do I owe this late-night visit?" "We need to talk," Crane said, his tone firm. "And I suggest we do it somewhere private." Vivian's eyes flickered with suspicion, but she nodded gracefully. "Of course. The study." She led them into the room, the fire casting flickering shadows on the walls. Vivian poured herself a glass of wine and gestured for them to sit. Crane remained standing, his eyes never leaving hers. "Let's not waste time," Crane began. "We know you killed Lucas." Vivian's hand stilled, the wine glass halfway to her lips. She lowered it slowly, her expression unreadable. "That's a serious accusation, detective. Do you have proof?" "We have Lucas's journal," Crane said, placing the evidence bag on the desk. "It outlines his suspicions about you, how he believed you were planning to kill him." Vivian glanced at the bag, then back at Crane. "Lucas was paranoid. He saw threats where there were none." "That doesn't prove anything." Dr. Marks spoke up, her voice sharp. "The journal is just the beginning. Your financial records show large transfers to offshore accounts before his death. And Margot, your own sister, has told us everything." Vivian's lips pressed into a thin line. "Margot has always been unreliable. If you're basing your case on her word, you're grasping at straws." Crane stepped closer, his voice low and steady. "Then let's talk about Jonas Blackwell. He knew about your past, didn't he? That's why you killed him." Vivian's composure faltered for a split second before she recovered. "Jonas's death was tragic, but I had nothing to do with it." "You were seen meeting him at the boathouse," Crane pressed. "And now he's dead. That's not a coincidence." Vivian leaned back in her chair, her smile tight. "You have a vivid imagination, detective. But unless you have actual evidence tying me to these so-called crimes, this conversation is over." Crane reached into his pocket and pulled out the photograph of Vivian and Jonas. He placed it on the desk, his gaze unrelenting. "You're running out of lies, Mrs. Hawthorne." Vivian stared at the photograph, her expression hardening. For the first time, her mask of control slipped, revealing the simmering anger beneath. "What do you want from me, detective?" "A confession." "Yes," Crane said simply. Vivian stood, her movements slow and deliberate. She walked to the window, staring out into the storm. "You think you've pieced it all together, don't you? That you've caught me in some grand scheme?" Crane remained silent, waiting. Vivian turned to face him, her eyes blazing. "Fine. You want the truth?" "Lucas deserved everything that happened to him. He was a monster. Controlling, cruel, and utterly devoid of humanity. He thought he could trap me in this gilded cage, but I outsmarted him." "So you admit it," Crane said, his voice steady. Vivian stepped closer, her smile cold. "I admit nothing, detective. But if I did, do you think anyone would care? Lucas was a tyrant. I freed myself from him, and the world is better for it." "Jonas?" Crane asked, his tone sharp. "Was he a monster too?" Vivian's expression darkened. "Jonas was a liability. He thought he could control me, but he underestimated what I'm capable of." Crane's grip on his gun tightened, his instincts screaming at him. Vivian wasn't just manipulative, she was dangerous. "Where's Margot?" Crane asked suddenly. Vivian's smile widened. Margot is safe. For now. What have you done to her? Crane demanded, stepping forward. Vivian's laughter filled the room, cold and hollow. Relax, detective. Margot's fine. She's just not in a position to interfere anymore. Crane's radio crackled to life. Detective Crane, this is Officer Michaels. We've found Margot Hawthorne. She's at the edge of the estate, unconscious but alive. Crane's eyes snapped back to Vivian. It's over, Vivian. You're under arrest. Vivian's smile faded, replaced by an icy calm. You think you've won? You think you've stopped me? Crane moved to cuff her, but Vivian stepped back, grabbing a letter opener from the desk. She pointed it at him, her eyes wild. I won't be caged again, detective. Put it down, Vivian, Crane said firmly, his gun raised. For a moment, time seemed to freeze. Then Vivian dropped the letter opener, her shoulders slumping in defeat. Fine, she said softly. You win. As Vivian was led away in handcuffs, the storm began to subside. Crane stood in the doorway of the manor, watching as the once dominant woman was placed in the back of a police car. Her reign of manipulation, lies, and murder had finally come to an end. Or so he thought. Later that night, Crane reviewed the case files in his office. Something about Vivian's surrender felt off. She had been too calm, too resigned. It was as if she had planned for this. Don't overthink it, Mark said, stepping into the room. She's behind bars. It's over. Crane nodded, but the nagging feeling wouldn't leave him. He flipped through Lucas's journal one more time, his eyes catching on a phrase he had overlooked. If she's ever caught, don't trust it. Vivian always has one last move. Crane's blood ran cold. He stood abruptly, grabbing his coat. She's planning something. What? Marks asked, alarmed. I don't know, Crane said, already heading for the door. But I'm not letting her get away with it. As the storm clouds cleared, revealing a sky full of stars, Crane raced back toward Hawthorne Manor, unaware of the trap Vivian had left in her wake. Chapter 10, The Widow's Fall. The early hours of dawn cast a pale glow over the precinct, but Detective Elijah Crane felt no sense of relief. Vivian Hawthorne was behind bars, but her calm demeanor during the arrest had left a bitter taste in his mouth. She wasn't broken, she was waiting. Crane sat at his desk, the cryptic warning from Lucas's journal replaying in his mind. Vivian always has one last move. He grabbed his coat and headed toward the holding cells. If Vivian thought she could manipulate her way out, she was about to find out how wrong she was. Vivian sat in her cell, her silk blouse a stark contrast to the harsh metal bars around her. Her fingers tapped rhythmically against the cold bench as she stared out at nothing, her mind a chessboard of strategies and counters. She had known this day might come. She had planned for it. The sound of approaching footsteps pulled her from her thoughts. She smiled faintly as Crane appeared on the other side of the bars. Detective, she greeted, her voice smooth as ever. To what do I owe the pleasure? I want answers, Crane said, his tone hard. Vivian leaned back, her smile widening. You already have them. Lucas is dead, Jonas is dead, and I'm here. What more could you possibly want? Crane stepped closer, his eyes narrowing. The truth. Not the version you've spun to fit your narrative. The real truth. Vivian tilted her head, feigning innocence. You seem so sure there's more to the story. Maybe you should consider the possibility that you've already won. You're too calm, Crane said, his voice low. People like you don't give up. You've got something planned. Vivian laughed softly, the sound unsettling. You give me too much credit, detective. Crane stared at her, searching for cracks in her facade. Lucas's journal warned about you. It said you'd have one last move. What is it? Vivian's smile faded slightly, her eyes flickering with something dark. Lucas was always so dramatic. He underestimated me right until the end. Just like you're doing now. Crane's jaw tightened. Whatever you've planned, it won't work. Vivian leaned forward, her voice dropping to a whisper. Are you sure about that? Meanwhile, Dr. Penelope Marks was reviewing the evidence in her office when an officer entered with a file. Dr. Marks, you asked for updates on the Hawthorne case? She nodded, taking the file. As she flipped through the pages, her brow furrowed. Financial records showed another large transfer, this time made just hours before Vivian's arrest. The funds were wired to an offshore account under an alias. Marks's eyes widened. She's been moving money. She was planning to run. The officer nodded. And that's not all. We traced the account. It's linked to a private jet. The flight plan was canceled just after her arrest. Marks's stomach dropped. Vivian's calmness, her lack of resistance, It all made sense now. She wasn't planning to escape the law. She was waiting for the perfect moment to unleash chaos. Crane's phone buzzed in his pocket, pulling him away from his interrogation. He glanced at the screen and saw Marx's name. "What is it?" he asked, stepping into the hallway. "We have a problem," Marx said urgently. "Vivian's been moving money. She set up an offshore account and was planning to flee. The only reason she didn't is because she's banking on something bigger." Crane's grip on the phone tightened. "What kind of something bigger?" Marx hesitated. "I don't know, but whatever it is, it's in motion." Crane turned toward the holding cells, his heart pounding. He was about to re-enter Vivian's cell when an officer rushed toward him. "Detective, there's been a breach at the evidence locker." "What?" Crane snapped. "Someone broke in, specifically targeting the Hawthorne files," the officer said breathlessly. "They took Lucas's journal." Crane's blood ran cold. "Lock down the precinct. Now." In her cell, Vivian sat calmly as chaos erupted around her. She could hear the shouts of officers, the sound of doors slamming, and the growing tension in the air. She smiled to herself. Everything was going exactly as planned. When Crane stormed back into her cell, she didn't even flinch. "Where is it?" he demanded, his voice rising. "Where's what?" Vivian asked, her tone light. "The journal," Crane snapped. "It's gone." Vivian leaned back, her expression serene. "That's unfortunate." "Stop playing games," Crane said, his fists clenched. "Who are you working with?" Vivian's smile widened. "You assume I need anyone else to pull the strings." "That's flattering." Crane stepped closer, his voice dropping to a dangerous tone. "You think you've won? You think stealing the journal will save you?" "It doesn't matter. We still have enough to bury you." Vivian's eyes glittered with amusement. "Bury me, detective? You still don't understand. I'm not the one who's trapped." "You are." Hours later, Crane sat in his office, trying to piece together the fractured case. Every lead seemed to dissolve the moment he grasped it. The evidence was slipping through his fingers, and Vivian's mocking smile lingered in his mind. A call came through on his desk phone. "Detective Crane," he answered. "Detective," a voice said, low and unfamiliar. "You should know that while you've been chasing ghosts, the real prize has already slipped away." "Who is this?" Crane demanded. "Just someone who admires the game," the voice replied. "Vivian sends her regards." The line went dead. Back in her cell, Vivian sat as an officer approached. "Mrs. Hawthorne, you're being transferred." She stood gracefully, allowing herself to be cuffed. As she was led through the precinct, she caught Crane's eye. For a brief moment, their gazes locked. "This isn't over," Crane said, his voice firm. Vivian smiled faintly. "Oh, detective, it never is." As she was escorted out, Crane felt a chill run down his spine. He had won the battle, but the war with Vivian Hawthorne was far from over.